Hey, what's going on with everybody?
What's up, Chris?
Hello there.
And Russell.
I'm going to start recording if somebody else didn't already.
Nope, go right ahead.
Yeah, go for it. I did start recording just now, but
Okay, cool. Yeah, well, we can do both.
yeah, feel free. If you do it, then I won't have to send it to anybody.
So, Russell, did you see on your end that the pack paid you back for the shirts?
Yeah.
So that's good. We have requests for funds from the general, from Jason Gerhard and Kristen Jackson. So we plan on supporting those two. Got to follow up with all the rest of the candidates to see if they need funding for the general as well. Nobody, we did not get anybody to sign up for door knocking on Friday night. No one has signed up, sent us an email, or replied to our social media posts about that. That's still all right because there's still going to be door knockers going out with Make Liberty Win. It's just that we're not getting any additional ones to send them. Everyone's got door knockers available except for Jason Gearhart, Kristen Jackson, and Paul Terry. Jason and Kristen did not seem to be worried about knockers. They're doing some mailers that they're preparing for. They don't seem to have that on their radar just yet. Definitely still want to work with Paul and figure out another organization for him. I think the people who I got to talk to, it's called Right to Work. Someone mentioned that Right to Work. Got to reach out to them for see if we can get help with Paul or their other endorsees. What else? I need to reach out to Jim Kofalt to sign up for his class on basically how to run for state rep, so that way, I can know what the reps we endorse are going through. That's a great thing to do. I think it'll give us some knowledge on how to better work with the state and our reps for election cycles in the future. So I spoke with Derek Russell, and yes, it is true about what we talked about Friday night, about what he had never done before. What you were telling me, that comedian.
Steps to go. Like people say, how many steps we have to secession? We're at like, are we de step 5 out of 100?
So when I was speaking with Matt San Anastasio, he gave us a little bit of the schedule for, let me look at my notes. General election is November 8th. The NHLA summit is going to be on November 13th at 6 p.m. And I think we're going to pile in on that. We're going to talk further about seeing if we can have a little independence block scheduled for that time period. We can talk about independence bills. I know that was what the hope was for this past Friday. It turned into a great networking event either way. But we got to make sure that we have our bills prepared and organized. If not at a separate summit around the same time, then definitely at that one. So that's what I'll coordinate with Matt. And then November 26th is the filing date for bill ideas to be put through for the first year of the session. So that's what we need to be. That's basically the final get our candidates over the finish line during the general, and then get the bills we want filed on the 26th.
That the meeting is not going to be that big. The Liberty Alliance. I suspect.
Hold on. Hey, Ian, can you say that again? You were going out.
Sorry. Hello?
Dave? Can anyone hear me?
Okay, I think Ian needs to speak right now. Let's everybody...
Is everyone able to hear me? Anyone?
I'm able to hear you, Ian.
Okay, great. So what I was saying was, I don't think we should expect any kind of official acknowledgement from the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance, even though Matt is on their board, and he, you know, has some influence, I'm sure. They likely will be staying away from this issue just because they tend to not take positions on issues of controversy within the libertarian movement, because, you know, it would be unpopular with a lot of the reps, likely, and they don't want to be seen as taking, likely, I'm just predicting, they probably don't want to be seen as taking a side on this issue because libertarians disagree on it. So I doubt they're going to carve out a special section for us, but that doesn't mean that we can't be at this meeting and talk to the reps and have as many New Hampshire exit people there as possible, which would be, I think, probably the best approach. But it never hurts to ask. I just say, don't expect anything, positive. Don't expect anything official from them.
All right, good. Well, managing expectations is important, so that's good to know. Paul, I know Paul Terry definitely wants to meet again after the general, so, I mean... He said that as he was leaving on Friday night. He's like, we got to meet again at the general. So we got to, I mean, that's basically, yes, we got to follow through with that. If he's telling me that, then that's something we got to do. So I guess we'll set another date then. We'll set another date. Maybe a little bit less public. I don't know. Maybe just the reps in this case.
By the way, thanks to everybody for showing up. This is the biggest meeting I think we've had in quite a long time.
Yes, thanks everybody. And we got some new people joining us too, some names I don't recognize. Welcome, folks.
Also, great turnout on Friday night. Excellent event. Really enjoyed it. I do have video of the speeches. I got two videos in front of that published, so it may be a couple of days before I get that out, but I will get that out at some point soon, hopefully.
Yeah, that'll be cool. Unless we have something else specific that somebody was going to bring up, do any of the new people that joined have a question or an issue or something they want to unmute and bring up?
Hey, what's up? This is Tori. It's the first time at this meeting. I'm just a fellow New Hampshireite, very curious about the movement for independence. Wanted to know, you know, how I can learn more, maybe get involved. I got here a little bit late. So I don't know if I missed it, but someone could fill me in on what's happening, and how can I learn more and get involved? That would be awesome. Thank you.
Well, I guess we can all answer that. So if somebody wants to pipe up, they can.
Sure, I'll start. So if you go to nhexit.us, you'll see there's a tab at the top of the page. There's a menu at the top of the page that will link you to community things, and there's quite a few different options there. We have a pretty active chat room from time to time on both Telegram and Matrix, and those two chat rooms are linked together. So that would be a good way to kind of have an active discussion going with other people who support independence. There's a less popular forum. There's some other groups I'm not familiar with. I don't know about Mayway. I think Russell can comment on that, or the Signal chat. I'm not sure about that one. But those are some options for sort of keeping in touch. And
just a second, Ian. Yeah, there's not the social media that you mentioned are all the busy ones. I have social media things on some other things, and none of them are very busy. I've given up on a couple of them, and MeWe, I only do some things. So, yeah, you've hit all the big ones.
Can you tell me which ones you've given up on? Should I remove things from this list? I don't
know.
Oh,
I will check out your list and send you whatever doesn't. I've been taking them off my list on nhexit.org for the ones that aren't. Like, the person that was doing our Instagram is not busy. Okay. And then I do MeWe, but, like, the person that was doing Gitter is not doing it. And that sort of stuff. I'll re-look at your list and tell you, and go check to see if there's any activity.
Okay, great. Thank you. So that could be a start as far as, you know, getting connected. How did you, just out of curiosity, Tori, how did you hear about this particular meeting? How did we come across your radar?
Oh, I've been going to some of the Free State Project events recently. I was at one on Friday night. I went on Friday night in Stratum.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. I was just talking to guys, getting informed. I don't live in New Hampshire right now. I'm thinking of moving back here, and I'm trying to get a sense of what the environment is like. You know, I'm really curious to know, especially what happens with the midterm. Like, I'm in District 1, and I'm really trying to figure out, you know, do these candidates have a chance of winning? And, like, also just trying to understand what's going on and what these people really stand for. And I don't know. I mean, I, you know, would really love to live in a state where there's more freedom, or I don't have people breathing down my neck all the time, telling me what to do.
You're a New Hampshire native, but you moved out of the state?
Yeah, I moved out like 20 years ago.
Wow.
When I was a kid. Yeah.
You're back visiting right now? You're here for a little.
Yeah, I come back and visit all the time. My family's here, really close.
I see. And where'd you move to, just out of curiosity?
I moved to New York City.
Yikes.
Yeah. I moved from New Jersey to New Hampshire. New York is terrible.
Yeah, it's become really just uninhabitable, I would say. So really thinking seriously about coming back, and I understand there's a lot of people moving back. And I think that's fantastic, and would love to know, like, I'd love to find some like-minded people who think like I do, and seems like there are some groups out there. I think the idea of going independent and succeeding from the union is really interesting. I understand there's other states who are talking about that, and really interested in just finding out, like, the nitty-gritty of, like, what are people doing, and, you know, on the local level and on the state level, and if I could volunteer or get involved eventually, I think that would be really cool. I do make the move back here. You know, it seems exciting.
It sounds like you're already connected with, I'm going to guess, the Free State Project calendar. Are you already aware of that?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's obviously probably the best way to get connected with things that are actually happening that you can physically go and attend. And, you know, just making the move back here, you're moving from the 50th least free state. First most free states. I mean, just making the move is going to be a dramatic increase, as you know, since you used to live here. So, I mean, you really can't go wrong with that move. And as far as getting plugged in, there's more stuff than you can possibly do. I mean, just like you mentioned on Friday night, you were out in Stratham, but we had an event going on in Weir, and there was, you know, a bunch of people together there. So it's like you have to actually pick and choose where you go. So it's a good problem to have, and we have that.
Yeah, we have we actually have, like, New Hampshire independence is just like one of many things that a lot of liberty minded folks are involved in and doing. So if you don't find this appealing, you know, there's always other stuff on the calendar.
Yeah, I find it very appealing. What's the status? I mean, how realistic is it that that could happen? Like, what's the time frame?
I'll speak a little bit on that. So there's something called CACR 32, which was a constitutional amendment that went forward and got voted on in the House this past year. And that's basically the most amount of progress of any independence movement in the United States, probably ever, at least since the Civil War. So it's made progress, but as far as, you know, reality is concerned, you know, it could be a while. We're still in the very early stages, I think, of just building up support. I don't think we didn't even have bumper stickers or like t-shirts or anything like that until this year. So even though it's been sort of, it's been around, it's sort of been, it's existed for a while, but hasn't really had any progress until this year. So it's still very early. We basically went from zero reps supporting, you know, New Hampshire independence to like 13 or 14 reps supporting it. So it's a good start, for, you know, a 1 year period. But there's also, you also have to remember, there's also, just growing support for liberty in New Hampshire overall because of the Free State Project and people moving here. And those successes, I think, have far outweighed anything New Hampshire independence has achieved thus far, just in that the number of movers every year has, you know, we've had record numbers of movers every year for what, maybe 4 or 5 years now. There's an event called Pork Fest or the Porcupine Freedom Festival. That's been a sellout, and that attracts like, I don't know, like 3,000 people or so. That's basically as many people as you can fit on the campground. There's also a Liberty Forum, which was also sold out, I believe, this year as well. So yeah, it's basically something that, you know, I think we're probably I don't know, other people might have different thoughts, but, you know, if this makes progress, I think it's probably like a decade away. But what do other people think?
It's hard to say, but yeah, I mean, you're right that we've had a huge jump in independence related activity in just the last year since CACR 32 was filed. So if you want to get the latest kind of updates, Tori, I would recommend the nhexit.us. Just scroll down the blog and that'll kind of give you what's happened, give you the kind of the highlights. We recently had a Karen freak out about independence and went after the state reps, and that was a pretty entertaining situation because she got shut down, so we got video of all that stuff. But right now I think we're focusing on making sure as many reps get through the election as possible that support independence, trying to create a caucus for them to continue to promote things like nullification and independence. And obviously the more people we can have here on the ground that support it, the better, because the thing that we've come up against immediately politically is that there are reps that should be on our side who are afraid to take a public stand in favor of independence because they're worried about what the voters are going to think. They're worried about getting reelected, which is, you know, a typical political fear. So that's probably our biggest political hurdle to get over right now. And so, you know, having more people physically here who are in support of independence would help them change their mind about that. And that's another thing you'll see if you scroll down the blog at nhexit.us, is there's actually been a poll that was done by the Foundation for New Hampshire Independence this summer that spoke to New Hampshire voters, or I think just people in general, I think it was New Hampshire voters, about how they felt about independence and asked some really good questions that our group helped to write. So we actually had finally like a proper poll that was done. And the results were pretty encouraging. It was nearly 1 out of 3 people in New Hampshire, about 29% of the respondents, voters, said that they supported New Hampshire being an independent nation already. So we got I think we have a good basis from which to start converting people and changing people's minds on this issue. There were a fair number of people that were on the fence as well. So all those numbers are available, and you can download the full, you know, like the cross tabs if you want to dig in deep to that. Another important takeaway was that 52% of Republicans in New Hampshire already support New Hampshire becoming an independent nation. So there's already a good basis of interest in this particular issue, and I don't see how it can go any direction except for in our favor, given the federal government is, of course, going to keep getting worse no matter who gets elected, as we know.
Yeah, I want to also add, there's been other polls too, you know, less scientific ones done by the Union Leader, I believe it was, and they tend to be against us, but even their poll was somewhere between 70 and 78%, depending on when you looked at it, in support of, I'm trying to think how they phrased it. They rephrased it a little differently, but I think It was something to the effect of supporting independence. So, just something to keep in mind. And there's been people. I think Ian, you've asked people on the street. What was the results of that, type of interaction? You have like a number on that?
Except at events, so those people are not your typical on the street people. But Alu has apparently been talking to just average folks, and he has received very positive responses. I will say that I have done in the past outreach years ago at like the county fair and handed out many hundreds of flyers at various different events, and the reactions are always positive, overwhelmingly towards New Hampshire independence. So yeah, I think that there is a real, the Granite Staters are strong on this issue. They do have a lot of pride for New Hampshire, and it's just, we just have to chip away any kind of allegiance they have at the United States.
The other thing I would bring up, Tori, is you mentioned District 1 and wondering how that was going. I'm guessing you're talking about U.S. Congress races, is that right?
Yes, thanks for bringing that up.
So, amongst this group, we don't spend any time thinking about the people who are running for offices with the federal government. Does that make any sense? Because we're, most of us are trying to do this, what Steve Villay disagreed with a couple of Friday, is we're wanting to do it unilaterally, right? We're having New Hampshire say we want to be independent. So we are focusing on the reps here voting for it and the people here voting for it. So we haven't actually been spending any time figuring out what the guys who want to be senators or representatives to the U.S. Are doing. There's other people that are interested in that, but this particular group doesn't spend time doing that kind of thing.
Well, I will say this, Russell, that I have spoken with, obviously Jeremy Kaufman for U.S. Senate. He's the Libertarian candidate. He is fully in support of New Hampshire independence. So, there is somebody that you could vote for in that race who supports us. And in the other races, the congressional races, Ridley just confronted the Republican in, I think it's District 2, Bob Burns, and he posted a link in the chat to that confrontation at a campaign event for this guy who's like presents himself as some sort of a Trumper or whatever. And he specifically said, I believe the quote was something to the effect of, if New Hampshire wants to secede, then he will fight against New Hampshire doing that. So he's obviously not an ally in any way, shape, or form. He further described himself as a union. That his family, quote-unquote, spilled blood. So, yeah, that guy's definitely no good. Of course, his opponent is certainly no better, I'm sure, as she's the incumbent. So there's no one worth really supporting in that particular race from our perspective. In the other race, I believe the woman is Carolyn Leavitt, who seems to be kind of just a run-of-the-mill conservative, which is, what you expect from the Republican nominees. But she did, to her credit, specify that, I spoke with her personally at an event at the We the People event that happened a month or two ago. I did ask her if she would support the people of New Hampshire voting, being able to vote on independence. And she did say she did support that. Of course, again, that really doesn't mean anything from a federal level, and of course, she's a politician, so she can't be trusted, but to her credit, she did say that.
Are there any of these people who are running either for the state Senate or for, federal office who you think can be trusted? It's something that I wonder about.
So what's great about New Hampshire is that, maybe you remember this from before, is that there's a huge proportion of representation within the State House, 400 reps in the State House as well, so it's very easy to get to know your rep. A lot of the guys in this group get to know them and decide for yourself if you know, you trust them. And of course, you know, for the liberty, there's also beyond just getting to know them and to meet them and how accessible politics is in the state. We do have a great organization called the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance that does provide liberty ratings for all of the reps in the state house that, you know, ranks them according to how do they fit the standard with the New Hampshire Constitution and in some ways also the American Constitution as well.
Great, thanks.
So, Matt, I think you said American Constitution. Is that some foreign country that I'm not familiar with?
Well, I don't know if we have a rep from NHLA here, so... So I just threw that in there just because I'm pretty sure I thought it was a little bit of both, but
as far as Trump politicians, obviously that's a bad plan across the board because they are, you know, known liars for the most part. But you at the very least trust their voting record. So once they do get elected, the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance does a really good job of keeping an eye on all the legislation that. Put forward, and then voting, and then what they do is they track all the politicians in New Hampshire, the state senators and the state representatives, and they track their voting records on whether or not they voted in favor or against liberty, and then they come out with a report card every single year that grades each of the politicians on how they actually did. So politicians can make all kinds of promises, obviously, while they're running for election, but once they actually have to vote on things, then we get a real feel for, you know, what they actually are doing. So I would recommend if you're looking, you know, if you're interested in politics and getting involved in, you know, in the system and supporting the people that are the good guys, I would check out the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance at nhliberty.org. And there's a lot of things that you can get involved with over there. If you are interested in doing things like grading the legislation, they do that there. They actually try to read all 800 to 1,000 bills that get filed every year, and they try to have enough people to read those bills. They don't quite make it usually. They get several hundred of them done, so they definitely need more people who like to read legalese and read legislation. And then you can kind of grade it as to whether or not it is pro-liberty or anti-liberty, and then what they do is they come up with voting recommendations that they hand out to the state reps and the state senators every voting day, every time they have something to vote on. They stand outside the hall of the reps' hall, and they hand out physical sheets, they call it the gold standard, to every single 400 reps as they come in, all 24 senators, that basically tells them how to vote if they support liberty. So it's a really influential group, and they do amazing work, and there's no organization like them anywhere else in the United States. They're really something special.
Amazing.
So on another note, Tori, we're always interested, like we wanted to find out how you found us, and we're all interested in how far along this is in New Hampshire. Since your family's here, have they even heard of it, or what do they think of it?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. My family doesn't really know about it, which is odd. But, you know, I guess it's like you can easily pay attention to, you know, what comes under your attention. You know what I mean? Like, it's very easy to get kind of lost within a bubble, I guess is what I'm saying. You know, until I started coming back up here, in the last couple of years, I was ignorant about a lot of things because I was just inside of my own bubble. It's sort of taken me coming up here and meeting people face to face to begin learning new things. I don't know, does that make sense, what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. That's normal. Now, for you, is independence or decentralization, is that your biggest issue or just one?
It's just one issue. I mean, the biggest problem for me is how disingenuous people seem to have become in government, and how there just seems to be no integrity anymore. And yeah, it just feels like there's no representation. And it's deeply troubling as somebody who comes from a very old New England family. I mean, my family came here in the 1640s. We have a very deep history of political involvement. And yeah, I just, you know, it's the big problem for me is a lack of credibility in government in general.
Well, we all think that, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So we're wanting to have it be smaller so that the bad guys that run it don't run so much.
Makes sense.
Yeah, for me, secession is about, the main issue is not having to be at war anymore. Now, obviously, your family used to be in politics, but they must not be in now because you'd know how bad the politicians were if they were active.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so I think we've covered some of the stuff that Tori was talking about. Now, the next most important issue is that we have to catch Alu up to speed so he'll be ready to go on a diatribe. Uh-oh, I didn't trigger Alu. He must be quiet. So Tori, did we cover some of the things you were talking about?
Yeah, this is great. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Yeah, and we're covering a lot. I mean, part of the reason Ridley invented this was to talk to people that disagreed with us or people that had questions, and it's kind of turned into a planning session for us. So that's what's been going on.
Cool. I'm learning a lot.
And if you want to join us, that'll be great. There's lots of different ways to join us. Matt and I do the Political Action Committee. Ian runs the, and others people run that nhexit.us. I do nhexit.org. Dave does nhexit.com. Alu and some other guys do the Foundation for New Hampshire Independence, that you can find on one of our link pages too. So there's a lot of different angles. So there's a lot of room even inside of this movement.
Yeah, well, one of the things I'd suggest if you want to do something is just write letters to the editor supporting New Hampshire independence. One of the things the Democrats have been doing to attack the Free Staters has been to use independence as a means of basically attacking anybody who's not a Democrat. So supporting, you know, writing letters to the editor, and they're using letters to the editor as well. In a very coordinated, strategic fashion. So getting more people to write letters to the editor with the opposing view will make it sound less, how do I say this, less like it's a minority viewpoint, which I don't think it is a minority viewpoint, but it may appear that way if you only ever see letters to the editor or negative publicity attacking the idea of independence. Or, you know, lots of times they'll write how it's, you know, something, they'll compare it to the Civil War, and, you know, white, and they'll say stuff like we're white supremacists and things, or they'll imply that, you know, we're aligned with white supremacists, which couldn't be farther from the truth. It's more like the British, when the United States declared independence from Britain. So it's about freedom. It's not about, you know, it's not about slavery.
Actually, letters to the editor was something I was hoping that we could all talk about today for preparing for the general. Where should they go to? What are the best media outlets to write letters to? It's actually a perfect segue, Chris.
Union Leader, Concord Monitor, Canadian Sentinel.
Yeah, I think any paper, you know, that has a section for letters to the editor is probably a good option. I think there's one, there's a something like Seacoast something or other.
Seacoast Online.
Yeah. I actually don't know what other papers there are. Those are the main ones that I can think of too.
Okay, so now with the, you know, we've got the general coming up, and we've got some newspapers that we want to, you know, send a letter out to. I guess we should also look to see if there are any pro-independence endorsees in those elections. Like, for example, we could throw a letter into the Seacoast Online, but Max Abramson actually lost his primary, and there's actually no pro-independent Seacoast rep. For those of you who can't send one in, actually, I guess more communication is better than that. But let's, for writing a letter to the editor, should we do four separate letters by four different authors, like, or do we do, you know, one stock letter to each paper and spread it out over a different 1 week for each letter? Or what do you guys think about that?
I think just getting more people writing, you know, the more people, the better. I mean, I don't even know it has to be all that, you know, strategically determined. Yeah, pick one and write a letter and send it in, and hopefully they'll print it, you know? And if you could do more than one paper, even all the better. Oh, one other thing, actually. If you do write a letter, can you post it to the NH Exit chat room as well, so that other people will have maybe something to go off of in writing their own ideas for writing their own letter? That's, I think, a good idea.
Some of the newspapers have different letters to the editor. They have different dates for when any LTEs are due.
Yeah, you know, one other thing I was thinking was, given that the Democrats have been attacking independents and they've been associating with free staters, it may be worth people writing letters about, you know, saying that you're a free stater and saying what you actually support and believe, because they've been maliciously attacking us and making claims that have been false. So, you know, if we actually have people saying, oh, hey, I am a free stater and this is what I believe, you know, it won't come, I don't think that will come off badly. But of course, the left and the Democrats have been twisting it into, you know, the white supremacist thing keeps coming up, but it's not just that, but other things as well. So, yeah.
So, a couple things have happened. Myself off speakerphone here. Okay, so, I was ejected from Ringe G. Well, not ejected, but forbidden from recording my independence question at a Ringe GOP meeting. And technically, I was also assaulted when I asked that question of the congressional candidate. I posted a link to that video. There's a bunch of other links too that are up in the chat. There are two new articles up, two new independence articles up at freeking.com. I posted a talk radio call-in schedule on the chat there. So if you want to call talk radio, this has the numbers and the times that the shows are on the air. It is 6 months out of date. Roughly. And I think that's what I have.
So that's another view into how secession is viewed right now, that the rep, you're a guy who wants to be a congressman, right, was okay with your question, but the moderators didn't even want you to be talking about it.
They said they were objecting to recording in general. However, two
So, Tori, we're going to have you move back to Ringe and save Ridley from his tyranny.
Okay.
We don't ask for too much. Did we lose Alu already? Specific with the letters to the editor, or just trying to encourage people to do it, or are there certain papers for in certain districts that might help?
I guess that was a bit of the idea. I know that was something that was talked about a few weeks ago, and right before the primaries. So I'd like to see if we can get ahead of the opposition this time, or at least try to get ahead of them. I know they blitzed a lot of our guys with that mailer and those TV and YouTube ads, you know, that the Wednesday prior, and we tried to get something out, and we just weren't able to muster anything. Would it be nice to have a little more positive expression in support of them in the meantime? Or at least prepared to send something out at the exact same time when they would send something, like a letter out, or I should say another mailer. But I guess letter to the editors, you know, that's good too. We're partnering with Make Liberty Win for door knockers, so, except we don't have any of our own door knockers to present with them, so they'll just be taking care of our guys for the most part. I guess that can give us a little bit more space to write letters. No, we got good papers. If someone has another paper to mention,
yeah, I don't know of any other specifics other than where you are. Is there anybody else that hasn't had a chance to talk that's been muted that wants to? Shayna, do you want to talk and tell us what you've been up to, or are you just listening?
There was one other thing I wanted to say, as we have new people here. If you don't have a NH Exit bumper sticker yet, please send me your address. I'll mail you one. Just you can email me at chris@thinkpenguin.com. I posted it in the chat on Jitsi here, so I want to get those out there and more people putting them on their cars so that the politicians can't say, but my constituents don't support independence, or they haven't told me they want independence. I really like the idea of NH exit signs, political signs, and I think it's too late for this year, but maybe next year that might be good, or maybe not. I don't know.
Other signs during the rest of the year? That's a good question.
since I'm not worried about individual candidates or individual elections, you know, this is a big issue that takes a long time. Yeah, any of the things where we're pushing an issue instead of a candidate, I always think it's always kind of a shame when people put out a bunch of signs with their name on it and then they lose the primary and then, well, what did that do? Whereas if you're pushing independence, you can kind of do that all the time.
Yeah, one thing that could be done with all the candidate signs being thrown away, one could just take a few candidate signs, you know, and paint them over with whatever message. And, you know, this kind of stickering, you know, using stickers was a big part of the Serbian Revolution in 1999, stopping Slobodan Milosevic and all those Balkan wars. The stickers were a huge part of that. I mean, they were appearing everywhere, those four stickers.
I really like the idea of stickers, too. Stickers are cheap, and the signs are cheap, relatively speaking, as far as getting a message out there. So I think we just need somebody to come up with some good designs for NH Exit, you know, that are, you know, visible, that are large, and you know, that we can actually start spreading around. So the more stickers and letters and all this stuff, you know, the better off we are.
So Ian, I checked your list of links to social media, and all of those are still active. So we're good with that, with the ones you have listed. Tori, do you have any other questions? Because you kind of gave us like four or five questions all at once, and then we answered like two out of the five. Is there something that you had some of the specifics that we haven't answered?
Oh, thanks for asking. You know, it's just really interesting to listen. I mean, you had said at the beginning that you were looking at a time frame of maybe like a decade in the future, at least. And you know what I mean? That doesn't sound very far off. It sounds like you all have a very grounded approach to trying to make this happen, and that interests me a lot. You know, it's interesting because Jeremy Kaufman was at the event that I was at Friday night. He was talking about how, you know, maybe there are ways to sort of, you know, to use social media, use you know, national media to garner attention for the Free State movement. He had some pretty sort of clever ideas. It's sort of like gimmicks, but like, you know, gimmicks get you attention, and attention can get you money, it can get you following. And it seems like there are some people who are in maybe in more of like the tech universe. And I know he runs that platform Odyssey, I think that's how you say it. It seems like there's people who've got some interesting ideas for how to kind of use the tools of public relations to garner following for the Free State Project. I wonder, have you guys considered doing something like that for the New Hampshire Exit movement? I don't know. It just popped into my head while I was hanging out here listening to you.
I think a lot of this stuff ends up being intertwined, even if it's not intentionally so, in part just because, you know, the Democrats have kind of made it that way. Any time, you know, you mention anything about like cryptocurrency, or you mention anything about New Hampshire independence, you know, it kind of all ends up leading back to the Free State Project and the migration movement to New Hampshire. So I always like to, you know, sort of connect that, especially if I'm talking to, you know, somebody who's producing some sort of content that might get wider distribution, because ultimately, you know, that's one of the benefits of getting publicity, I think, you know, maybe for even for independence, you know, because in the short term, you know, it's not like New Hampshire is going to be independent tomorrow. So what's the benefit, right? And I think some of the benefit is, you know, attracting more people to the state. And, you know, maybe we can't become independent tomorrow, but, you know, in a decade from now, that may change as we gain more like-minded people, gain more political influence in the state. So,
if you think about it, NH exit sort of was the publicity stunt, although it will eventually become more than that, I think.
Yeah, I think that's the hope. At least that's my hope. Yeah, this is, I mean, this is, New Hampshire independence has gotten way farther, you know, than I could have ever imagined. You know, I mean, I remember going to protest or rally or whatever, you know, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago. And I remember we had a couple people show up and it's like, okay. And now, you know, we have events. I mean, we had the, when we had the CACR 32 hearing, we packed the room. And it wasn't one of the small rooms. It was one of the double sized rooms. So I think that was the largest. That might have been the largest number of people that I've seen at a hearing, at the State House, in all of the hearings that I've been to. There might be one exception involving lead. I want to say lead paint, but it was something involving lead. But I think other than that, I think that was the largest, and it was probably. I think it was competing with it in terms of the numbers. So it was right up there, basically, in terms of extraordinary number of people came out for that hearing, the New Hampshire independence hearing. So.
Also talking about being very measured and taking a long view. Tori, have you run into the Club 75 Alliance video yet from Steve Villay?
I have not.
I just put it in the chat there. So definitely check out that. He made a nice, what you call it, a presentation or a little documentary thing, a little talk. So that's good. If somebody said it was going to happen in a decade, of course, that person is not. You know, Dave Ridley and I think it's going to happen in 4 months, so we're all set.
Yeah, I think your view is a little optimistic, but I'm crossing my fingers and hoping you're right.
No, I don't believe that, but I do. I mean, I don't believe 4 months, but I do believe. Like, if you look at you know, my experiences in the Balkans, and that's not the best model, but I mean, Slovenia, Croatia, these places. They were against it, and then all of a sudden they were for it, right? It just went from 0 to 100 in a very short period of time.
Yeah, I forget the other issues. I think it was Alu who was talking about another issue that people's perspectives shifted on over a period of over a couple of decades, and it was like some sort of federal issue or whatever that they were against, and then they changed their minds. So that's why I was saying earlier that we have almost one out of three people in New Hampshire, according to the poll that was done this summer, already on our side. We only need two out of three. The constitutional amendment, if it gets on the ballot, requires two-thirds to pass. So we're really almost halfway to the goal. And as I said, there are a lot of people on the fence. So those, you know, eventually if independence is perceived as popular, the fence sitters are going to come off the fence and they're going to join our side. So it's really... Yeah, we got to change hearts and minds and open people up to these ideas. And a lot of them have never even heard this before. They've never considered it. So the first time they think about it, they're going to come up with objections, and we have to answer those objections to their satisfaction. And the politicians are not going to be leaders. Most of them, they're going to be followers. They're going to move on in our direction once they perceive that this is a popular idea. So anything we can do to make it appear more popular or actually make it more popular will result in more political support from the politicians.
Yeah, I mean, this is why I think signs are a great idea. Stickers are a great idea. Bumper stickers are a great idea. Anything, t-shirts are a great idea. The more we get that stuff out there, letters to the editor are a great idea. The more we get that stuff out there, You know, people will actually perceive there being support for it, as opposed to, you know, maybe it just being a Free Stater thing or something of that nature.
It feels like the weak link in the chain right now is just that most people didn't hear about the poll. The poll didn't get much attention because the media didn't like what the poll said, I think. And, you know, I sent out a news release about the poll, the 52% of Republicans supporting New Hampshire independence, and 42% of all New Hampshireites wanting a referendum on independence. So I sent that out. It didn't get much media coverage. So that's the piece of information that is dynamite and really needs to be spread.
Maybe that would be good for a sign, 52, just that, 52% of Republicans support New Hampshire independence.
I wouldn't spend any money on a sign that is going to be out of date, the next year. I would keep signs to a basic message like NH out of US or NH exit or New Hampshire independence now or something like that, or with a URL on it, that kind of thing. Keep it simple. Just get the meme out there.
I mean, I think you're probably right, Ian. The biggest issue, though, I think, is actually not even so much the money or anything like that, but it's probably too wordy for a sign. You want people to be able to see it when they're driving past it. And I think one of the biggest problems we actually have with signs, political signs, is that people actually can't really see what's on it, because it's, you know, I mean, you could fit like eight words on there and that's about it. Or not eight words, eight letters on there and that's about it. Anything more than that, it's like people can't even read it. It's so far away.
Yeah, that's one nice thing about the NHExit.us URL is it sort of functions as both the URL and the message. So that's one nice thing there. There was something else I wanted to throw out, but I couldn't space.
You know, and speaking earlier about the constitutional amendment, obviously your idea, Ian, you know, was to go for the gold with the initial attempt. You know, at independence, to make sure we did achieve that media publicity, as opposed to going for something that we thought would pass, and it worked. However, Max Abramson, the state rep from Seacoast, who was pro-independence, had suggested that we could or should he says you can just make a piece of legislation that creates a referendum on a specific date or whatnot. I think that might be the golden path, so that we instead of needing 66%, we just need 51%, same as Quebec.
So Max has talked to you about this?
I'm not quoting him directly. I didn't directly hear him say that. Someone else was paraphrasing him, so it's possible we could be playing the game of telephone here, but that's my understanding.
I heard him talk about it. Bonnie and I spoke with him outside of in the state house on the day of the vote. He took some time to tell us that idea. I think we've talked about that with Matt Sant'Anastasio as a possible option for another piece of legislation, because, as you know, you cannot submit the same piece of legislation, cannot come up 2 years in a row in the same term. So CACR 32 actually can be resubmitted this year because it's the beginning of a new term, but then it would not be able to be submitted in 2024. So we could do one or the other or both. There's no reason why we can't have multiple approaches this year, including a study committee bill. I think Alu had tossed around a few ideas with some of the reps. So yeah, let's do all of the above if we can. Speaking of, by the way, of Matt, I spoke with him at the event on Friday night, and he was asking me how I felt, whether or not this was worth it. And I told him, yeah, absolutely. I think this, what he did, which was filing the CACR 32, was absolutely worth it. I think he's got the Politico reps whispering in his ear, trying to, you know, pull him from the dark side of independence and bring him to their side of being total politicians, and they're trying to influence. That's sort of the impression that I got. So he was second-guessing himself, and I said, look at all the things that, you know, have started because of this. It was CACR 32 that kicked the New Hampshire Independence, the Foundation for New Hampshire Independence, into high gear. They had been pretty much, you know, lying silent for years, and now they've become an active organization again, and with ALU at the helm. The New Hampshire Independence Pact didn't exist prior to CACR 32. Now we have the New Hampshire Independence Pact doing things and helping candidates. You know, there's so many different examples that, you know, I tried to give him of things that didn't exist before. You know, you talked about the t-shirts earlier tonight and bumper stickers and different NHExit websites. All these things have come about with sort of the spark of CACR 32. And I said, you know, there's probably people who are moving here. He said Jeremy Kaufman did tell him that he knew of about 15 people who cited the New Hampshire independence legislation as their reason for moving to New Hampshire. I think there's probably more than that that obviously haven't told anyone that that's why they moved. So I said, there's probably going to be a few years down the line, somebody's going to come up to you at Porkfest and say, hey, it's your legislation that encouraged me to move to New Hampshire. So there's ripples that have already started, and we probably don't even know what the full effect of it is. And of course, it obviously put New Hampshire at the forefront of the nationwide independence movement. So anything that y'all can say to Matt to thank him and express to him your appreciation for what he's done, I think he could benefit from hearing some support.
Yeah, I just want to add, yeah, I think this has been, NHExit has probably been the most successful thing, you know, that we've done, you know, in years. That and maybe the Crypto 6 stuff, but, you know, those are the two big things that I see anyway.
Hey, Matt, have you talked to Max about this? Are you still available to talk? Maybe not. If Matt doesn't talk to
him, I'm still here. I talked to Max about what exactly again?
Well, have you talked to him about the idea of him or somebody else proposing a whatever they have to propose to do a referendum?
Well, I mean, isn't that what our, I believe Paul Terry wants to meet after the general, I believe, I think
that's
something that we
want to
do.
Yeah, okay, so maybe we'll start talking about it then. That sounds good. Yeah.
I mentioned to Matt that Matt was mentioning to me that I think he'd heard that like 36 movers had already appeared as a result of, or someone was claiming that there are already 36 movers as a result of an independence legislation that had already moved here. But I know I heard on Free Talk Live there was a celebrity that called in, or I guess it was a minor celebrity that called into Free Talk Live saying, "Yeah, I moved to Utah for freedom, and then here we have legislation to ban pornography from cell phones, and New Hampshire had legislation to remove New Hampshire from the union. So I moved to New Hampshire."
Yeah, that's a good example. I forgot to even mention that to Matt. That person is Reed Coverdale. He's a very popular libertarian podcaster, and he's also a New Hampshire native. So like Tory, he left for some number of years and decided to move back, and this was a sort of a moving issue for him.
Yeah, we're having an impact that I think we don't even realize, just in terms of, you know, it's not, because you have to remember, it's not even necessarily the number of people that may be moving that we know of directly. It may be indirectly people that we're attracting, you know, like people who have an audience, podcast, famous people with a large podcast audience, maybe, for example, that might be moving. And if we can get those people to talk about, you know, New Hampshire and the migration movement and New Hampshire independence, they'll also attract people and so forth. And we'll have a, you know, we'll have a larger movement. So, you know, I think we've been amazingly successful.
I know for a fact, speaking of podcasters talking about it, Tom Woods, who is very popular and influential libertarian and podcaster, has had Carla from the Foundation for New Hampshire Independence on his show on more than one occasion. and they have talked about New Hampshire independence-related news and activities. And I believe he has Carla on a fairly regular basis, like once a quarter. So it's definitely getting some coverage from people who are outside of New Hampshire that are also big independence advocates. Woods, I think he wrote a book about it, maybe, but he's definitely been pushing it pretty hard, just the whole idea of independence. And so, yeah, it's getting coverage there.
Well, Tom Woods' latest book is about national divorce. I'll go find the link right now.
I'm still here.
Yeah, we're okay. Here. There's nobody's okay. Talking. It's kind
of
awkward.
I'm going to go find Tom Woods' book. It's not in his list of books, but if you go to his website, it pops up. His latest free ebook is his National Divorce one, and that's what he promotes every single podcast. So,
another one who recently put out something in regards to independence is Bob Murphy. Who's also a fairly independent or a fairly well-known libertarian thinker, thought thinker, you know, like influencer type, and he put out a paper all about Texas seceding, but it has a lot of good, you know, sort of answers to some of the sort of standard objections that we typically come up against as being independence advocates. So if y'all haven't checked that one out, it might be worth a review. It's Bob Murphy or Robert Murphy. I don't remember the name of the paper, but it has something to do with Texas independence. And he is also a podcaster.
Yeah, he did that one, like a practical case for Texas secession. And then, of course, he keeps talking about it. So the Tom Woods book, he has a website, nationaldivorce.com.
Nice URL.
Oh, a piece of good news, the NEH Exit weekly meetings that I was posting on BitChute, months ago, when I had a better internet connection, those actually have done okay there. Platformed I am on YouTube. They're getting about 200 hits each on BitChute, so the hits are starting to go up on these NH independence meetings. And I'm promoting them and other starting to promote them in other places. What I'm doing now is just taking Chris Wade's uploads and then just promoting them directly on all the platforms that I can still operate on.
I'm glad to hear our combined efforts are making inroads somewhere. It's a little bit of work to do it.
Meme posts that get a lot of attention, like the one about Meghan McCain a few weeks ago went national. national with huge international kind of like coverage about what was going on with that. And they even trolled her into responding and retweeting them something like 5 or 6 times. So it's actually Reed Coverdale who made that post. He was the one. It's a group account. There's more. Access to it, but he's the one that made that post. It has resulted in all kinds of extra publicity for the New Hampshire Liberty Movement, and of course, since he's running that account, there's obviously multiple people besides him that support New Hampshire independence, and every now and then they will tweet about that. So we are getting, you know, national level exposure from groups like that. And that kind of brings me to the back to the conversation we were having about the signage. Made me think, you know, one of the things we maybe could improve upon, and I'm not the person to do it, but is, you know, what kind of memes could be created about New Hampshire independence? I don't think we have a lot of those, and those things are very popular, right? Like, they can go viral and get spread around. So that might be something that, if we have any talented meme artist types out there, that could be a good thing to really get some pass around and some exposure.
You know, that might need to be my job between now and January, is find people that can help do that.
Yeah, I would like to collaborate with someone on that. I do not like to Photoshop stuff or mess with photographs a lot. But what I do enjoy, I do have a lot of political cartoons that kind of pop into my head, and wow, like, wow, if I knew an artist, you know, like Dale Everett and I used to collaborate that way when he ran anarchyinyourhead.com, and occasionally he actually made political cartoons that came out of my head, and he would illustrate them. So if anyone wants to do the illustration part and team up with me, I'll have plenty of ideas probably.
Hey, didn't Joa make some cartoons already or memes or something like that? You might want to reach out to him.
Yeah, that's a great point. Right, Joa, yeah. Artist and likely a supporter.
Yeah. And Joa did a lot of the illustrations you see on the report.
Yeah, he also did sketches for the Crypto 6 hearings that have happened too, and they're pretty good.
Nice. I wonder if that's something that I know Alu's gone from us for right now, but he had talked about previously having the New Hampshire Foundation for New Hampshire Independence have some sort of contest on making a new flag for New Hampshire. I don't think that has materialized as of yet, but, you know, maybe a contest for meme making or something like that to try to crowdsource to supporters. Like, you know, let's see what people can come up with rather than just, you know, there's just the in crowd or whatever. Let's put it out there. Maybe they can help us with that.
Yeah, I'm still recording, so I'll send you a link when we're done.
Okay. Thanks.
What's that about?
And it said happy holidays, and it blew up into national level like media coverage and controversy.
Okay. Yeah, there were front page articles about how irrelevant
to say there before his signal cut out was that there were editorial pieces that were published in mainstream publications talking about how irrelevant the Libertarian Party of New Hampshire is. But of course, if it were irrelevant, they wouldn't be publishing front page articles about them.
Got it. What was so controversial about it? Sorry, maybe I'm kind of dense. So she's crying over the casket of her father on the anniversary of his death.
Yeah. The people who support war, and McCain was sort of a noteworthy warmonger of the worst kind, those people who support endless war were obviously offended by the fact that someone could be so callous to... know, essentially dance on his grave. So, and there were even people within the libertarian movement that were against it, so it caused quite a bit of a dust up. I thought it was pretty good move on their part. Got a lot of attention.
Right, well every punch is a push, right?
Yeah, you know what it is? You don't... It's often if people are so concerned about what others think that are never going to agree with them anyway. And it's like, sometimes you just need to, yes, it brings controversy, but that can be good because now people know, especially people, like-minded people, know what you think, and you're going to attract those people, and that's what you really want. It's not the rest of the world you got to please. It's the people who are like-minded.
Right. We want to get people who are like us know that we exist here in New Hampshire and get them to move here, like we did, a lot of us.
Sounds like it's over. See everybody.